tier supreme. Raiders of resale, living the dream. From whatnot to eBay, we score the loot. Vintage finds in every pursuit. Tips to cash in, story so grand. Reselling Raiders.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Raiders Reselling Podcast, live from the Hat House with my guests, Coach Porch and Fired Up Finds. Chris. Tonight, we're going to deep dive into a few things. One is going to be markdown strategies, which some interesting things came up about it. There's a new eBay feature that we want to talk about and some other strategies that we have that we've talked a little bit about in the past. We want to dive a little bit deeper into that. We're definitely going to talk about that. And as always, we want to hear from you guys out there in Instagram land or Facebook land. Get over to YouTube, get in the comments. Why do you need to get in the comments? Because we have a giveaway every week. And what's the giveaway this week? It's my turn. So I have to come up with the giveaway. And I thought I'd give you the choices. I like to give people some choices. First, maybe you're a little nostalgic about the Raiders and you remember the infamous Shake Weight podcast. If you want to shake weight, if you want something to remember the Raiders by, I can get you a shake weight, but I can also get you a hat shaper. If you'd like to have a hat shaper, I can get you a hat shaper, either size. I have plenty made up. You're going with the shake weight, Rob?
Shake weight, shake weight, shake weight. I'm going to sign off now so I can get in the chat.
So make sure you guys are in the chat. I'll get you a hat shaper or a shake weight, whichever one you wanted. Really appreciate everybody in podcast land out there. We hit 1,000 downloads, 1,000 downloads all time, which is amazing. So we really appreciate you guys downloading every week.
And I
kind of looked at the competition, and the one thing that I noticed when I was looking at the competition. We are the number one rated podcast with an E on it.
Yes.
Which stands for explicit. So thank you. Mainly Fired Up Finds keeps us in that category of the number one rated explicit reseller
podcast. Coach downloaded 992 of them. Is crazy.
Len, that's a bit of an exaggeration. It was only 846.
So good, dude. Don't forget either, memberships are live. We have two members now, so shout out to the members. Make sure you catch the end of this podcast where we shout out the members at the end, and make sure we connect the Raider community. Really appreciate that. But first up, as always, we have a new sponsor, and what better sponsor than Gold Bond? Yo, Raiders, it's Hat House. Dripping through this blazing July with a shout out to our sponsor Gold Bond for sweaty cracks. Some say it's a heat dome that's got you sweating. We're talking sweat pouring from your pits, your back, and yep, even your crack you forgot you owned. Gold Bond's medicated powder hits like rare vintage fine, cooling those sweaty spots and keeping you drier than the clearance bin's charms. Dust it on, feel the breeze, and keep raiding the racks without chafing like you're wearing polyester in a heat wave. Use code Raiders for absolutely nothing. And tell them Mike sent you, our resident double-fisting hot dog champ who powders his buns to stay cool. Gold Bond for sweaty cracks, because July sweat creeps out of everywhere.
Yes.
Stay cool, Raiders. Stay cool.
I put Gold Bond You know, in my crack, obviously, I put Gold Bond. Sometimes I have heard that, dude, Darren's the funniest guy. I sometimes I've heard Gold Bond will grow hair. So when I was working on my chest hair, I started putting it on my chest. So they're the man.
So you just rub Gold Bond everywhere.
Yeah, the only where it didn't work was on my hairline. It was kind of pissing me off.
Yeah, I'm sure it grew hair in all those cracks.
Yeah, dude. So, pretty much awesome. Thank you, Gold Bond.
Thank you, Gold Bond. We will do the questions at the end. So if we have a few questions lined up already, several about some hats and learning a little bit more about hats, we'll definitely get to those. First, I want to play, though, remember, how do you get a free entry into the giveaway? Well, I'm getting ready to show you how, because our man, Logic Z LLC, answered one of the questions we had last week. Let me load it up here. Remember when we were talking about this last week? I glanced over, and I think that kind of happens. And my bins is also a lot less pressure on the clothes. But everybody at my bins wants toys. It's crazy. It's like 70% of the people there are just there for toys. And I'm not a huge toy guy at all. I hardly ever pick them up.
I would love to learn about them, though. I would love to learn about them.
Yeah, I'm sure. So we asked that last week. We were kind of talking, hey, we'd like to learn a little bit more about toys. And Logic Z LLC, he gave us a great... He called it a TLDR, too long didn't read, but there's a bunch of great information in here. If you want to update about the toy game, he says the toy game is insane, but here's a quick TLDR. Modern is irrelevant. The market is looking for vintage toys, kind of like clothing we've been talking about. There's really only about 15 franchises and brands that make up 90% of the sales. You'd easily be able to list many of them as they're the most recognizable. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Star Wars, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Barbie, He-Man, Hot Wheels, etc. Selling them is not easy. You really have to know what you're looking for to make the big money. The same exact toy could be a slight variation or missing one small accessory could be the difference in $10 nobody wants or $650, the version that every collector wants. There's hardly any in-betweens here. The condition matters heavily. The accessories, the box, the plastics. Seemingly 90% of the toys are extremely high sell-through rate and crazy margins or worth nothing. There's not only a huge barrier to entry regarding knowledge, but also a lot of work and needing to complete your toy set. So a lot of those pieces just to complete your toys. All of these reasons and more is why I say it's a hard market, similar to cards. It's a very, if you know, you know, market. The problem is if you don't know, you probably never know. It's years of knowledge, hard to find the sought after, and either instant or non-existent sell-throughs. So it's kind of doom and gloom for us wanting to get in the toys, but I think there's still, a way. I think there's a way that we could learn. Don't you guys?
I really think that there's just so much information at our fingertips with our phones nowadays that it's nowhere near probably the learning experience that he went through to get to where they're at now.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's years of experience speaking in that paragraph there. But I just think there's just too much information available to not be able to look at something and say, hey, Google lends this and tell me if this is selling elsewhere.
Google's already listening to you. Yeah. I could kind of see what he says, but if you're out there in the hustle and bustle of that bin at the time,
right,
the people that actually know what to grab will have the upper hand at that time. If you're at the garage sale or whatever and you have time to take a picture of it or whatnot, definitely have time to do the
research. No, I get you. But if you're in that hustle and bustle routinely, you see what's being grabbed at that point. That's you learning that.
Yep.
And you grab something that you're not used to when you're all done, you go over in the corner, you lens it up and say, okay, what did I grab? And then, hey, maybe it's a score, maybe it's not, but that's the learning process.
Dude, like one of my favorite things is at yard sales, flea markets, whatever, and somebody will just have, you know, basically a huge tote or bag or whatever, and it'll be like $5, you know what I mean? Or like, it'll be some small amount of money, and I'll take the $5 and just like chalk it up initially as a loss, just as a learning, you know what I mean? Yeah. And like sometimes you end up winning, you know what I mean? And sometimes you end up winning. Like I bought like this big bag of like old Barbies or whatever, and they ended up selling to some lady in like Italy or whatever for like a couple $100. I think I literally paid like $5 for them. So I was just like, I looked at them, they were old. Like none of them were in the boxes or anything. They were just old. And it was actually, the Barbies sold for a couple $100, but there was a bag of the Barbies and a bag of just a bunch of clothing, like Barbie clothing. And so when I looked those up separately, kind of just in lots or whatever, there was some insane prices for just like Barbie clothing sets, you know what I mean? Just that top and a bottom.
Oh yeah.
And I had, you know, there was probably, this probably had 60 individual pieces of clothing. You know, some of them had like matching top and bottom, some of them were dresses, some of them just were kind of a random. And some lady bought them, I don't remember where, but I think I sold just the clothes for $200 or $300. And she messaged me and said that there was one single piece in all of that she's been looking for her entire life. I don't remember which one it was, but so that one piece of the entire, you know, clothing lot that I took a photo of, or multiple photos of, she saw and made her buy everything. You know what I mean? So it was, but I initially thought, I'll spend this $5 just to learn, just so I don't have to sit here and take time away from going after the things that I know about, you know, to look up all this stuff. I'll spend the $5, take it home, and then whenever I get a chance, I'll kind of look them up and try to learn some more about why this is shitty or why it's good. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Fired Up finds fulfilling dreams. One Barbie shirt at a time.
Yeah. Yep. They call me the magic man.
Probably a Barbie mini dress.
Yep. Pretty awesome.
We definitely appreciate the comment. It definitely gave us some insight into this toys. So that's why he gets a free spot on the wheel this week. It was really good to see.
Well deserved.
The other topic we wanted to get to was death pile, right? How's your death pile looking, Coach?
Man, you just don't even want to know what my death pile looks like. It's more like a death storage locker.
Are you trying to get out of it? Or
I'm grinding. You know what? I'm grinding through the shows, man. I'm getting it going. Yeah. I mean, you guys were there this past Saturday. That is 100 something pieces that went out. I mean, they're going. I think, you know, we had that little back and forth today, and it just sticks in my mind. It's that buying versus selling mentality, and the whole thing about going out and sourcing is like crack. You know, you just want to get out there and do the sourcing, the buying, the shipping and all that stuff comes secondary, because it's all about the game.
Find, yeah.
Yeah. How much of the stuff in your storage locker is actually stuff you sell on your show? What percentage would that be?
I'm going to say right now, 85%.
That's pretty good.
And I always say that because the other 15% is bags and clubs that I haven't broached selling on Whatnot yet. So they may end up just having to go over to the bay. Although I might pop off a club show. I mean, I'm getting to a point where I might have a hook in the Japanese club market,
right?
And so I might be bringing that to Whatnot once a month.
You know what my hack is for my death pile? It's I lock my credit card I seriously lock my credit card whenever I feel like I have enough inventory for the rest of this month. I just log on to the old Capital One there and I lock the credit card, and I have to go in and manually unlock the credit card and make sure that, hey, I really do need to buy this, or it, I mean, it kind of sucks in a Whatnot show. Every now and then I'll forget that I locked it and I look like the guy that can't pay for stuff. But I will manually log it sometimes to kind of remind myself, hey, you've told yourself you have enough stuff. Are you sure you want to buy this? And mine's not really, I wouldn't say mine's bad at all. I've kind of built up on hats just because of the ray train that we're trying to do. And I haven't really listed those, but, and I'm a little bit different. I have to do it full time. So I have to list this stuff every single day.
Right.
And I think part-time people, and you get a little cushion, and if you don't list today, not a huge deal. You still got a paycheck coming from somewhere else next week. Right. Mine's a little different in that. How's yours look fired up? You almost grew your death pile exponentially this week.
Oh yeah, I almost grew my death pile by 10,000 pieces. Yeah, no, we don't really have a death pile. Like, this is basically the extent of anything that's not listed. I mean, there's like,
yeah, I think
5 or 10 pieces.
I think, Mike, weren't you saying last week you had the opposite problem?
Yeah, it's because I buy a lot and then sell a lot every week. You know what I mean? So like when I do, like a vintage show or whatever, I'll get 150 pieces or something like that, and then I'll sell all 150 pieces that night. You know, and then same thing with the, golf stuff or just whatever it is. The only piles that I have are just Whatnot piles. You mean things that like I'm not going to list anyway, so they're just in bins collecting for the next show. But right. I never I don't do, which is a better strategy, how Coach does, by keeping inventory after a show. You mean not, obviously Coach has so much so he couldn't even run, he couldn't even sell all of it in one night anyway. But
a long night.
Yeah, I sell every single thing that I have in that category that is going on Whatnot. And then, for the next week or two, I just re-up on it for the most part. So, I got a huge bin of hats that is going on the hat show or whatever. We were listening to a lady on YouTube 2 days ago, and she said, I don't know how, but her and her husband list 45 items every day, and they say they keep a week's worth of inventory, like unlisted inventory, so that way if they're not finding stuff or whatever, they try to find 45 items every day, and they list 45 items every day, and if they have a bad day or whatever, then they still have some. I mean, there's stuff like sometimes you'll go out and you'll find 50 pieces or whatever, and we try to list 10 or 15 a day. So we'll have it like that, but then there's other times where we just don't go out. So, but we still have some, but it's not necessarily like a death pile, So right. It's,
Hey, Logic.
Okay. So Logic, I'm the only one with the real death pile, right?
Did make it into the chat. He's the one that answered our toy question. You got a huge shout out, Logic Z. We're glad you did live today.
Really appreciate you. Thank you for that.
Welcome in.
We're encouraging to the best of our ability, to, like anybody else, it doesn't have to be toys, but like anything else that we talk about that we're like, our niche categories, because we talked about the niches and then the everything guys or whatever. If you're a niche person, or if you know a lot about a certain thing, and you don't have to drop specifics, you don't got to say that like, hey, go to this address on a Wednesday and you're gonna find blah blah blah. But yeah, man, if there's information that you want to share in just a very broad general term, exactly how Logic did, dude, that's awesome. Because the three of us don't know everything even close, and everybody that listens doesn't know everything. So it's just cool. It's just cool that like people that are in Maryland or in Oklahoma or California can be like, us three are not competing for items. So, you know what I mean? It's cool to be like, just stuff that kind of catches your eye now. So yeah. We do appreciate that logic. You're the man or the woman, I guess. You could be a girl, but you're probably the man.
So I guess as far as Death Pile goes, it's really our man Rob that's got the Death Pile. Do you think you could go a year without sourcing anything and keep running shows?
I don't know that I could go a year. I could go months, but not a year.
So basically, Rob, you sell, if not eBay, right? But on Whatnot, more or less, probably on average, you sell like what, 450 pieces a month, something like that. Maybe if you're doing a show every week, you're selling about 100 and some change every week.
Yeah, it's so. About five. I'd say it's probably right around 500 pieces.
All month. Right, so 500 pieces. So yeah, you probably got you got a good couple months, dude. You got every bit of 5,000 pieces just in your fucking basement.
No, absolutely no.
Bullshit, no. Dude. Hey, listen, for everybody listening, I've had the virtual tour of the basement. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of shit down there.
It's absolutely different now. It's absolutely completely different than when you saw it. Like I got there's three piles now sitting on that couch that you saw. There's one that's a brand, that's a new with tag show getting ready to go. Right. And then there's one pile there that's supposed to be getting listed on eBay. And then the next pile is for the next hat show. That's all that's in there now.
What about all the other rooms? You have like four rooms in your basement.
Well, the one room is the eBay thing now. I changed that whole thing in the front area where that's one of those big giant steel rolling racks.
Yeah.
And it's all those we talked about the boxes with your bags and stuff that one time. Yeah. It's full of all that and some inventory of hats. And then the hallway there is the shipping area. And then the back room is what you see me broadcast out of every week.
Well, listen, it's my story. I'm going to tell it. He's got 5,000 pieces in his basement. So you can let him tell you what you want.
I'm going to guess. I mean, he's got thousands of vintage hats down there in a corner.
I can't say thousands, but maybe hundreds. This
guy, look at him blushing.
This guy sent us a video. He sends us a video, and there's boxes stacked 6 foot tall, and he just pops them open. And they're all pretty like neatly organized. It's not like they're all just thrown in there like all junky. They're all like, you know, in there nice, and he's just like pulling. And I mean, there's boxes damn to the ceiling almost. This guy got so many freaking hats. Unbelievable. How many pieces? If you were, because you do obviously a lot of your sourcing online, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so how many pieces do you think on average you buy per week? On any given month, we'll say.
It's hard to say. I mean, like weekly, I probably do 100 pieces. You know,
yeah,
I could easily go in a show, and but for me, it's all about that damn shipping. Yeah. I got to get, Steven, we've talked about this before. I got to get that shipping as liquidated as possible to drop the RO, the cost of the hat or whatever I'm buying. But a lot of times, I find myself alone in these shows. Where people are doing $2 to $5 shorts on stuff, and I'm like, okay, I mean,
what else are you gonna do here?
I mean, because I know I'm gonna take it and in a month or two put it in one of my shows for triple whatever I'm paying for it.
Yeah, that's another reason. I also, for my Death Pile, I guess the other tip I can give you, if you do get on Whatnot quite a bit, is I had to turn all the notifications off. One, because I missed a sale and I went like 3 or 4 days without seeing it. But the other was just so I didn't click into that thing every time something halfway interesting popped up. And so I turned my Whatnot notification.
Oh, I haven't seen this guy in a month.
Where has he been? I got to go buy something. And I like to support when I'm on there. I do like to support. There's a lot of people that I can't say no to buying something from this person. The only way that I can say no is just not to go on there. Yes. And I know I know that feel. I know that's. I don't know. I just want to support all the hat people. I wish I could get to
where you're at, but a lot of my marketing is through going into the shows and hanging out and being, you know, there, being present and being a part of the golf community. And not just golf community, because I go into all different kinds of shows. Like, a lot of people know me in the luxury, mid-luxury categories. A lot of people know me in the pop categories. I mean, so I've been around a few different areas. But, you know, sourcing online, I wouldn't say is just Whatnot. I mean, there's some gems to be had on Whatnot, like, on occasion, but a lot of this stuff is off of Whatnot. Like, I did an Instagram deal today. You know, I was buying some hats from a guy, and he just happened to hit me up and be like, oh, by the way, I got this as well. And it's the 2023 Scotty Cameron gift pack. And I'm like, I'll take that. Thank you. I mean, every time you get a Scotty Cameron gift pack, it's got the head cover for your putter, the one for the year. This one had a custom Scotty Cameron X hydro flask in it. And then it was a bag. They call it a cash bag. It's about the size of a woman's clutch.
Yeah.
You know, so it's about like that. If you guys can see, measure that. Look, here's my head and here it is. It's a nice size
Scotty
bag.
Cameron's thing just to resell it. A lot of people club. Do, I think. Yeah,
absolutely. A lot of people do. I still have last year's. I haven't sold it yet.
I had the cash bag, and I still have a divot tool in the. I need to sell that thing. I'm never going to use it. I don't know. Maybe I'll wait 10 years. Will it be? Does Scotty Cameron? Does it go up in price pretty good?
Yeah, he doesn't depreciate. Scotty Cameron stuff does not depreciate, especially the club stuff, because it's limited.
Right.
Yeah, the club stuff I know can get crazy high, insane.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to name names, but I've seen people that, you know, you could go on Scotty's website and buy stuff every day of the week. And I've seen stuff from that website sold on Whatnot in some golf shows. And I mean, I've literally watched people type into the chat. That's on the site right now for $25. You're buying it for $40. What are you doing? You know, and they're just constantly like,
they're calling them out.
That's on the site right now for $12. What are you doing? And they're just swipe.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I think that's like that's some of the benefit of like that whole live auctioning is that you get impulse, you know, sometimes you just get impulse people that, you know, they want to outbid somebody else and they want it right now. And then, you know, if they go look it up later or whatever.
Yeah.
They're disappointed in themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They'll be in the corner eating some ice cream.
Yeah. I mean, damn it. I could only get one scoop today because I spent triple what it was worth.
All right. The second thing we wanted to get to was the markdowns. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about my markdown strategy in my store. I'll cover it really fast, but there's something else that I'm doing. What I do is I put everything into when I purchased it. So like a special store category. So like I do like January, February, March, April, May, June, July, 25. And as that gets older, I mark it down further. So it'll go from 10% last month. Then 2 months ago will be 20%. And then maybe 6 months will be like 30%. And then anything over 6 months be like 50%. But eBay finally is doing what a lot of other sites have done already. It's really easy now just to do like the automatic markdown as you're listing. If you guys haven't seen it yet, like right as you put the price in, then you can also put in do you want to do a gradual markdown to stay competitive on this item? And I'm trying it out, and I'm really going to do it in that my earbud category. I'm not really doing it with the other ones because I'm just trying to see how it will do there on those earbuds. If I can, and I got like a huge batch of them coming due on Friday. So I went through like over 100 listings and I put them all to mark down $2 or $3 on Friday. And then it'll mark down again next Friday. You can set it up for a week or 2 weeks or a month and how much you want to mark it down each time. But I just kind of did the recommended and for every week. And so it'll be really interesting to see where we're at on Friday. If I see like a big boost in like traffic or offers after I get a bunch of markdowns done on that stuff. So have you thought about using it, Rob?
Yeah, I have thought about using that. I think it's an interesting feature there. I've kind of wanted to do, you know, because I don't want to be in there and out there all the time. Age markdown strategy. There you go. I don't want to be in and out all the time. Okay, manually change. Let it walk it down. As long as it does it the way I like it to be done, then I'm good with it. And I think it's beneficial to the seller.
Yeah, most of them had like a decent kind of hard stop on it. I mean, like if you had something priced for $30, then it had like a hard stop around $22 or $24.
Right.
And then it took it down like a dollar or two for 3 or 4 weeks until it got to that $24. And so that's why I wasn't that worried about you using it. Most of the time your offers are in that range anyways, so I'm not really too worried about it. But it's another one of those things. It may be, since it's a new feature, one, eBay likes to put new features at the top of the algorithm anyways to get you to use that type of stuff. And I think, and if it works, like everybody knows, well, maybe not everybody knows, the new people to eBay need to know the trick. There is one trick where you can go in and just take all of your inventory and you can drop it down a dollar or two. And you know how if you've ever looked at something or watched something, you get this like update on your phone, like, hey, this prices went down $2, and you get that notification. And I get you can get a lot of sales that way. I've done it in the past, just like a bulk markdown of a dollar or two just to get people to look at your items again. And that in there with having a markdown on it already and it ending, there's a lot of ways to kind of get your item back in front of people. And I'm hoping this is the same way. You think you're going to use it, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what triggered my text to you guys earlier was, I was listing, on the computer yesterday and I saw that. I do a lot of listing on my phone. So I don't remember if it gives you that
it's on the option phone
on. Yeah, I don't remember if it does or not. I don't think so. So I don't do a ton of listing on the computer. Amanda does most of the listing on the computer. I don't, but there's some things like when I have to adjust a shipping cost for a policy for a certain item, I can only do it on the actual internet, you know, like on the actual like website itself. So I was doing some listing on there and I saw it, and that's why I was like, So I went last night and did like a huge markdown on, I mean, there's like 20 items, something like that, that I've had in my store for over 400 days. So, you know, it's like, which is almost brings it to where it was like some of the first things I ever bought. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well. It was in the first couple of months, at least, you know what I mean? Cause like we're going on like 2-ish years, but it was like in the first couple of months of some of the things that I bought, I still have. So I did like, you know, like 60% or something like that. You know what I mean? So I just did all of those. And then I did. And so it was like 360 days or like 300 days and older was like 60% off. And then I did one from, like 199 days to 299 days or whatever, and then that was like 40% or something like that, and then kind of it trickled on down all the way to like 31 days or whatever. But yeah, because there's just like, you know, stuff that has views, you know what I mean? It's not like it's just completely dead, but you know, the shipping was probably too high, or, you know, there's something that I just haven't went back and fixed with the listing. So I kind of did it that way. Try to get out some of the, like, really old stuff, you know.
Yeah, I get you.
So to answer your question, are you going to use it on the front end?
Yeah.
So that's what triggered my brain was, now I'm going to do more of my listings on the computer so that I have that option to do the markdown right off the rip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And see how it goes. Like, yeah. I don't know how far out I want to stagger it, because there are items that are like, you know, there's like, I have a shirt in there. It's like a 80s, you know, like freaking Fantasyland, you know, shirt that's like $175, and it has like 300 views. You know what I mean? And so it's like, I don't really care if that sells in like 2 or 3 months. If it sells at 4 months, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to mark that one down. So I want to be able to control a little bit better. And I think it's a good way to do that.
I just checked and it's not on the phone. So,
yeah.
And I'm wondering, does it like show it as a markdown, or is it just taking like the whole price down? I'm assuming it's just taking the price down and not showing it like on sale. I'll be interested to see that Friday when some of those take effect as well. But
yeah.
How do you guys, let me know out there if, who said that they used it?
Logic.
Logic said I used it on like half of the listings past week. Yeah. And that's what I did. I had my son go in and, hey, just go in there to each one of these listings and click this button and hit save.
Nice.
And so he went through like 120 of them.
There's $10 from the old man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, dude.
It's he's like super fast at the computer anyway, so he probably did twice as fast as I could. Yeah. Dad, can I fix the scroll speed on this mouse? Like, whatever you want to do, bro. Just put it back the way you got it. When
I was saying, you're going to get back on there and your scroller is going to go. You're going to zip 1,000 listings on one roll.
Right.
Heck yeah.
All right, guys, let's get to, I think it's time for.
Okay, Raiders, it's everybody's favorite time. It's time to play Rank It.
That's so legit, dude.
My videography skills. I did not pay anybody on Fiverr to do that. I did that all on my own, guys.
Yeah. So. What a beast.
Yeah, this one's kind of two-parter. So I want you to rank. First, we're going to rank Watch It. So MLB, NFL, NCAA, if you could only watch one, like for this season, NFL. MLB, NFL,
NFL,
NCAA.
Yes.
NFL.
Yep.
NFL, NFL for sure. NFL.
Not even close, matter of fact.
Really?
Even if you had put golf in there, I still would have said NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. You could have said, hey, I'll never watch those other two, even without the NFL. So I'm never going to watch. I'll never watch baseball a day in my life. So, you know, NCAA, I'll watch, but you won't catch me watching. I might watch a World Series. Like a game,
NCAA,
and by a game, I watch like an
what
inning.
Sport you're talking about?
I'm guessing football.
Yeah, I would definitely be. I'm definitely NCAA number one. There's got to be some people out there that'll back me up.
I put them as two,
a little bit, and then
they are my warm up to Sunday.
Yeah, then NFL is definitely number two. I don't get as much. I don't get as much fun out of the NFL.
Mike's getting his ass kicked.
Yeah, Amanda and I love some MMA.
Yeah, I watch it. I watch it quite a bit too. But I have the second part of it though is if you could only sell one for if you could only pick that up, you could never pick one of the other ones up. Which one would you pick if you could only pick that up to flip?
Oh, wait, can you wait? Sorry.
Same choices.
I zoned out because I was reading Mary's comment. So wait, what did you say again?
I said, what if you could only flip one of them? So MLB, NFL, or NCAA, if that's the only thing you could ever flip.
Same for the answer, rest of your NFL, time, yeah. It'd still be the same answer, NFL.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, mine would be NCAA.
No.
And
much more okay, money available in NFL products and autographs.
Yeah, so my reason is availability. There's only 32 NFL teams. There's, I mean, 1,000 universities or something like that.
There's more than that, but yeah, but you don't have the same return on a tiny little university in Minnesota that you would have on the Vikings.
Yeah, but your chances of finding vintage college, or I guess just in general college.
He's got nothing to do. He didn't classify it as vintage.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, but well, just either way, it's so much more available. So I would go,
I'm going quality over quantity then.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm MLB. Rob? I'm MLB number one all day as far as flipping.
That picture right there is $700. Yeah. That's one picture.
I cannot wait until MLB season rolls around each year, because the sales seems like
all year.
Yeah,
it takes forever.
But and there are a bunch of MLB teams, and there's so many great MLB hats out there. It just seems like I'm going to look it up. I should have looked it up before I asked this question. On which market is kind of bigger? Maybe I can find it on eBay, which has more sales. I would guess that the ML. I don't know. You might be right on the NCAA. There's just so many schools.
I mean, I don't even know how you would be able to find the amount of NCAA. I mean, because you got to think about. I guess if we're just saying NCAA football, then that's one thing. But if you're talking about NCAA sports as just in general, I mean, you know, there's like you can't compete with the amount of, I mean, even just don't even take like the Central Michigan. Like if you just took all of the big name schools, like, you know, the Pac-12s and the Big Tens or whatever, and SECs,
you want to do
and, like,
just
all
D1?
Of the big, yeah, I mean, there's D1 schools that are like you never even heard of that are D1, you know what I mean? Like
guys in the chat are with me on this MLB thing, though.
I mean,
some of them are. I'd like to hear what you guys think.
There's 365 D1 schools.
Yeah, which is like 10x that amount of NFL teams, or I don't even know how many MLB teams are. Baseball literally disgusts
me. There's 30.
So 30. There you go. So they absolute MLB. I would sit here, dude, and I would breathe on the window and draw photos and draw pictures before I watch an MLB game. And I'm not even joking when I say that. I'm not even joking when I say that, dude.
they got a pitch clock now. It's sped up. It's not as slow as it used to be.
Whatever, dude. I will finally buy the guy that sits in front of the local racetrack gas station out in front of my office a piece of pizza before I watch an MLB game. And I'm not even joking when I say that.
How about Savannah Bananas? Have you seen that?
Boring.
You know what that is? Do
boring.
You even know what it is?
Yeah, it's not like,
even MLB.
It's that like
well, it's not, but
it's a funny thing, or it's like the comedy baseball or whatever.
Yeah, yes. It's TikTok baseball.
Boring.
But
this is so boring.
Well, that's disappointing. But have you noticed sales and sales price in shows on MLB stuff is better? That it sells quick. I mean, Rob sold a $35.47 trucker.
Yeah, he did
Chicago
do that.
Cubs.
Yeah, no, you're right. He did do that, which is, I mean, listen, dude, I don't know how in the world he did that, but I mean, you know, that's a one. I guess it's a one-off thing. I don't know, but
I've sold Savannah Bananas too.
I know that the Savannah Bananas.
That was in the Ray train, the first Ray train that I got allowed into and the three of us can back each other up instead of somebody stealing my spot all the time.
Beecham's on the NCAA as well. I'm torn. I think the NCAA hats, as far as some of the look and the styles and the logos, are better than MLB ever could be. So if I was being kind of selfish on which ones I would rather get the pickup, I'd probably maybe NCAA, but just as far as sales, total sales, I feel like MLB just sell more of them, especially basic hats. But
yeah,
I thought it was a pretty interesting
MLB
question.
MLB does well. I think they all do well. I just think about the amount of stuff, I guess.
All right, you ready for this? Yeah, I'm going to drop a nugget on you. You ready?
All right, nugget me.
There are approximately in the U.S. an insane amount of university and colleges, and you'll never guess the number. You ready?
Over 1,000.
5,300.
Yeah.
5,300.
Yep. That's every level, though. That's that. I preface that by saying it's every level.
Yeah.
D1.
Well, that's
the
thing. Have you guys ever picked up like a I will say it's vintage because that's like the only ones that I'm gonna pick up. But have you guys ever picked up like just like a vintage like crew neck that has like, you know, Western Wyoming State College on it or something like that? And like, dude, to be honest, like those sell great. Like,
yeah,
you know,
they're hard to find.
They're hard to find. So it's like that, and like, you know, a lot of the like the military academy stuff, like, you know what I mean, those are like, you know, big schools too. All that stuff sells great. You know what I mean? Like,
they're all three D1 schools.
Yeah. So it's you know, like I'm sure some of the, like the JUCO stuff probably maybe won't sell all that good or whatever, but you know, some of like the kind of really random universities.
I think that goes on. I think the JUCO stuff would go along the lines of like the minor league baseball stuff. It's going to depend on,
yeah,
you know, how cool it is, how cool the logo and the name are.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think what we're all touching on is, you know, we're all picking that sport that we like the best, mainly. But I think we're all blessed, and everybody in the chat included, we're all blessed to have all of these to pick from in succession of each other. You know,
yeah.
So I think that's, you know, the blessing here is we don't have to pick just one. It's a great experiment. It's a great social experiment to go through, and I think we demonstrated that. You know, each one has its own
and
great
it is
properties to it.
As important, it ties kind of back into death pile. Is if you want to be strategic about your death pile, is right now get all the NCAA stuff out and get all the NFL stuff out. And get it listed as soon as possible, because in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be on fire. The college stuff really takes off. Of course, college is back in session near the end of August. And of course, the NFL, what they just reported to training camp today or yesterday.
And everybody depends on what team it is.
Yeah. But everybody
should be there. My Jags did.
The Jags.
Hey, Lynn, that Morgan State is like 25 minutes from my house.
There you go. See? Amanda will tell you, though, that this wasn't on the three, but if I wasn't able to watch MMA, I would literally pass away.
Really? I didn't know you were MMA.
I'd pass straight away, dude. I could never watch another sport in my life and be okay. I would miss football for sure, but I'd be like, it is what it is. If I couldn't watch specifically the UFC on Saturday nights and now on Tuesday, starting in August, I would.
Was that like a promo?
You guys would literally be going to my funeral.
I guess I know who our sponsor next week is.
Oh, dude, if I could.
Venom Drawers.
They always said they were like, hey, what job would you leave the fire department for to go work at? And I always said, and I still say, if I got a job being anything with the UFC, I'd be gone.
Are you a fighter, Mike?
Nah, but like, I just like, you know, I wrestled all through like middle school, high school. And, you know, so like we always, I don't know.
Would you throw down?
No, dude. I'm a 6 foot, almost 3 teddy bear, dude. You know what I mean, dude? I'm trying to hug you and kiss you on your forehead. You know what I mean?
Michael. Read Logic's question. Read Logic's question.
Of course we're in the dirty D, baby. Come on now. Are you?
Well, he says two, so I'm gonna assume he's there.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't read the two part. Yeah, so what did he say?
He's a Mandarin.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I graduated from Mandarin High School, so
we're pretty close. Small world. There you go.
I live at the beach. So yeah.
But MMA stuff, I have a cool UFC hat. I think it's still for sale, but it's hard to find. It's hard to find that UFC.
Yeah, says the guy wanting to buy half of Japan, dude. This freaking guy's out of control.
Half of Japan.
Hey, actually.
One piece of property to half of Japan now.
Listen, dude, it's my stories. Let me tell them. Let me freaking tell them. That was a good ranking. I like that a lot.
I'll try.
Yeah, it was fun.
I keep trying to bring up the good rankets. If y'all ever have an idea for a ranket, make sure you email me. Or hit me on Instagram, actually, is the best way to get a hold of me. But
you rank all the memorabilia on my wall. That wall. That wall.
Not dude, hey, wall. Listen, just that because wall. You have signed pictures of RG3 behind you, like, it's okay. Like, we get it. You know
what Do I mean? You have RG3 back there?
No. He's somewhere else. I have one straight across from me that's Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs, and Ray Lewis together.
Do you have any Commanders / Redskins stuff?
Jesus Christ, no.
That's what I was wondering. Like, why
didn't he play for the Ravens for a little while?
Did he? I don't.
RG3, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
It was fun while he was here, but I'll be damned if I have any Redskin shit here.
Yeah.
Is that where he eventually just blew out the tire and was done?
Yeah, he went into broadcasting after that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ravens will do that too.
Hey, have you guys heard about these damn laboo-boos?
I have heard about
I bought two whole cases of them.
Seriously?
This freaking guy, dude. Dude, I didn't know. I still don't know anything about them.
Look at what they're selling for. The case has six. It costs you $185. Look at what they're selling for. $75 a pop.
Wow. So yeah, because they're making fake ones. There were fake ones at the flea market, and Amanda stopped and was like, "Dude, look at these." And I'm like, "They're like these little ugly things." I'm like, "What is this?" Yeah,
they're called little monsters.
Yeah, and she said that, and you know, she's like in with the, she knows like what's going on in the world or whatever, and she was telling me about how they're like going for some insane amounts of money. I was like,
oh yeah, pop on whatnot, you'll see about 6 million shows of people selling Labubus.
Really?
Yeah, and there's even shows for Labubu clothing and accessories.
Well, it's you better get in while you can and get out while you can.
I gotta wait for him to show up, bro. Huh? I gotta wait for him to get here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you better sell him. We don't want another.
Then I'll be going, hey, La Boo number one.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, you probably didn't hear it, Mike, but I went ahead and played the Bolo song since you were talking about a Bolo. So it's time.
I didn't hear it. That's how you know.
I know it's Bolo time. La Boo Boo is number one. If you can find it.
Yeah.
What do you guys
get? They're difficult to get because they're sold through Pop Mart. That's where you get the real ones. But
Pop Mart?
Pop Mart, yeah. They actually have stores around the world. They're pop-up stores. Pop Mart, pop-up stores. Anywho. but they're hard as hell to get. I mean, you got to go on their app and you got to be there right at that second to buy them.
And is that what you did? Or did you get a second hand?
No, I bought them for Pop Art. They're shipping them to me.
Huh.
I watched the timer click down to 1 second. And I went to my cart, hit buy, and I bought them. But my bolos, other than Labubu, were for I'm going to talk about something near and dear to my heart, and it's Titleist products. Now I'm going to show you a FootJoy, and then an RLX, and they both have had Titleist added to them. So Titleist, look for Titleist add-ons and look at the increased profitability. Like this one right here, you can see has the Titleist badge on the sleeve.
Uh-huh.
And then this one has the Titleist on the breast. But the profitability skyrockets on these two shirts.
Yeah, Titleist stuff is hard to find on a polo.
Yeah. Now you got another one here I'm going to tell you about. Samantha Brown. I guess it's luggage. Samantha Brown luggage. And you'll see a lot of these in yard sales probably. But here's some of the smaller pieces. All right. And here's a combo. This is apparently this combo is pretty popular. All right. And then here you go again. Oh, Steven, I really should just send these to you. Another two-piecer.
Samantha Brown two-piece luggage for $250.
Yeah. Golly. Samantha Brown luggage is hot.
I've never heard of that brand. Is it pretty much designer?
I guess she's the designer and creator, and apparently it's very good stuff, lasts a long time, and it's very desirable. Logic, that is true.
All right, what do you got fired up?
I'll drop a vintage piece and then a women's piece since we're getting the women's game. These old vintage iron-ons, they're usually just like basically like old blanks, and then it'll have a an iron-on usually of like a person. Like there's a lot of like Elvis Presley ones, stuff like that. This one was Cheryl Teague's.
Cheryl Teague.
Yeah. It was like the print the print actually had the date on it, 1978.
She was a bikini model.
Yeah, she was like a bikini model or whatever. This one of the like
one of the first top bikini models.
Yeah, so it's like it's an old shirt. It was on a Chet tag.
Right there with Farrah Fawcett.
Yes, I got it for. I remember
the only reason I know Farrah Fawcett is from Shawshank Redemption.
Oh dear God.
Anyway, go ahead.
I don't remember what I paid. It couldn't have been much, but it sold for $100. It wasn't even a best offer thing. They just bought it. So that was cool. Just look for old iron-ons. The price will depend on what the iron-on actually is. You'll know it's an iron-on because it won't feel like, you know, this shirt is like screen printed into the shirt. These are like ironed on. And then this one that we sold last week, I believe. This one was really cool. This one is called Bazaar de Christian or whatever. It's just the pattern alone deserves a look up. And
is that Christian Louboutin?
No.
Is that Christian Louboutin?
No, it's Christian LaCroix or something like that. But
Roy?
Yeah, that's what the tag looks like. It just has a great pattern. It's got flowers on it. It's all plaid. It was like kind of like a short full zip jacket. We had it listed for $85 and it ended up selling for $55. But
he's French.
It was another one that was pretty quick. Yeah. So those ones are good. I think we've actually found another one since then. And all the listings and solds are from $50 on up, just depending on the size and the design and all that other stuff. But normally, especially me, I don't know the most about women's clothing. So when and if I do look for women's stuff, it's really like the design and the patterns that will like at least get me to look up what it is. That and the tags. Mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to look up that many screen printed tags. I'll look up tags that look a little more high quality.
Older.
So yeah, or yeah, older, or just like, you know, just kind of high quality in general.
Right.
You know, at least kind of gives you a general direction, so you're not looking up every single piece in a, you know, 500 jacket rack that you're looking through. So
while yeah. while we're in ladies, I know you get ready to go to that one, but while we're in ladies, Darren said a long time back he had listed a Harley Davidson women's corset top, and then ChatGPT got him through it because he knew nothing. And I'll comment to that. And some what you're saying, Mike, is women's stuff is hard. I mean, I had 2 years ago when I was selling all new Attack stuff, I had new Attack women's stuff, and that was easy. But when you're sourcing and searching, you know, when you go so many times to the guy stuff, I mean, I know what I'm looking for right away. But when I get to the lady stuff, it's like, okay, where do they put it? There's just so many more varieties to choose yes. from, to yes. source through. And I mean, I think I've done somewhat of a decent job because I've sold ladies items the past 3 weeks. So, you know, I think it's like anything, as long as you keep working at it and you keep learning, like you with the tags, you keep learning your craft, so to speak, you're going to get to the end result better.
Yeah. That's also, to piggyback off of that, that's also why it's super nice to have Amanda either out with me or here doing the listing, because there's so many keywords that I don't know about, like how yeah. a sleeve will be. It'll be, you know, the sleeves will kind of be like wavy or something like that. And there's a word for, you know, what that sleeve type is, you know what I mean? And so if you were just to look up that brand and just say, like, you know, it's a this brand long sleeve shirt, or like long sleeve Henley style shirt, because Henley's a pretty common one that a lot of people know, then it'll pull up a lot of these. But if you don't know to say, hey, it also has like these kind of sleeves, then you're looking at this bigger picture when you could be looking at a very, like a much smaller picture, and the solds yeah. in that smaller picture could be a lot better. So, you know, having her
where you got to go.
Yeah. And she knows a lot of those words. Oh, I don't actually have it. Like, we didn't sell it yet. I'm not even sure if we have it listed, but last weekend, Amanda showed me these baby doll tops. They're like, I don't even have one. Like, imagine if it's kind of a shirt, but at just slightly below like the boob line, I guess, is it almost kind of looks like a little elasticy. You know what I mean? There's almost like a little elasticy kind of right here. And I guess those are called baby doll tops. And the sell-through rate is crazy good on them. Like almost 100%, if not higher than 100%. And some of the solds were like 150 for this like very standard, you know, all white Abercrombie and Fitch, like, you know, nothing crazy. It was just the style of it, sells incredibly well. So we actually found a couple of those, last weekend. So it's stuff like that, though. You know what I mean? That you would type in, you know, me not knowing, would type in, you know, Abercrombie and Finch white spaghetti strap shirt. You know what I mean? But like, I'm missing what this little thing right here that goes around like the body of it is called, and that changes the entire trajectory of that listing and of that price. You know what I mean? So like, having somebody that knows, like Amanda knows, is like ultra helpful. If you don't, then you know, the Google images inside that are your friend, and just trying to figure out all of the keywords to explain your item as best you can.
I'm gonna be digging for baby doll tops, that's for sure.
Oh, dude! Oh, you have to look them up, and like, you'll be blown away by like what a literally a plain white, no design, no nothing, goes for. It blew my mind. I was like, holy shit. So yeah, they're super good.
We did have one question right now from about Titleist hats that we might know a little bit more about. Beecham asked about Titleist hats and how they're selling right now. I have found on the Titleist hats, like the basic dad hats just the regular strap back dad tieless hats are not where it's at. It's usually doesn't do well. If you can get, but it's not always the case, because I sold one for $22 this week, but it had like the tieless patch on the front. It wasn't like the one you see every single time with the tieless
script
embroidered script written out. That one did a lot better. And then also the like the panel one with the round tieless seems to do better. I think when you find the ones that don't look like all the other ones, I think is the one that the ones that I get the best price on the tieless hat.
Yeah, I mean, tieless is like anything really. It depends on what it is at the time. I mean, right. I can take, I've had some of those dad hats with the script on them, but had like a cool MLB, and that would be when they did the collab with MLB. Right. Or they'll have the college on them. They did the same thing. They did a collab with NCAA. Those will sell really well. A lot of the truckers are going hot right now, and then the vintage is still good. I had a bunch of them sell at my hat show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what really sold in the last hat show, and I know you asked about titles, was TaylorMade. And the secret
TaylorMade always confuses the crap out of me. I can never understand. I don't know when it's good or when it's not. It seems like it's
you got to get the newer, get within three releases. So right now they're on the QI35. So if you get the QI10 or the Sim Max 2, in that area, if you get any of those. Or get some of the really cool ones with the side hits that have like SLDR. I literally had six, and I didn't even realize I had them in the show together. Six of them that had TaylorMade on top. Then they had the SLDR hit on the side and Tour Preferred on this side. And six of them sold, and they were all in the upper 20s. Just one after the other, after the other, after the other.
The one you don't want is the one that says R7 on it. I can tell you that. That shit's junk.
I had one of those, but I had one buyer that asked specifically for it, and they
really
it. So it was a pass through.
Well, send it to me. I'll throw him 10 of them.
There's two secret weapons in golf hats: Ping and PXG, because they are two of the hardest to find. Whoever owns Ping hats and PXG hats, they don't get rid of them.
Right.
Yeah. So,
for sure. All right. Let's get to my bolos. So, it's going to be the same one like twice in a week, but it sold. I just talked. Did I talk about these last week? They sold
this week. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago. The hockey gloves finally sold $70. I said they would go 50 to 60. Oh, I think I sent an offer. It was a little bit less than 60, but either way, sold my hockey gloves this week. Was really stoked about that.
Those are the Bauer Hockey Supreme Black 13 inch. Yeah, for anybody that's listening, they're adult senior black 13 inch Supreme 1, and then I can't see the rest of the title, but.
Yeah, they did really well. I still have some pants for around the same price. I just happened to find the hockey mine the other day at the bins. And then this is like the first one you learn when you come onto the reselling scene. I don't know if you guys know this one.
TI-84.
Boom. It's literally sold from the time I picked it up at the bins today. Till the time that it sold was 2 hours.
Yeah.
I picked it up at the bins. I got home and it sold for $45. It seemed like all of them were between $40 and $50.
They not all been $40 to $50 since they came out? I mean, how long has the Texas Instruments TI-84 graphic calculator been a $40 to $50 bill?
I was just amazed that it still is exactly the same, and it's, I mean, I probably hadn't found one in 3 or 4 years since I'd been like to garage sales and stuff consistently. And I found eBay one that bent.
Should market them as the reliable sales tool, right?
Right.
You need $40 to $50, find yourself a TI-84.
Yeah, you almost can't print money faster than finding a TI-84. It's like, yeah. It's one of those insane ones that's just like, you know, it's a guarantee 100% of the time that before you wake up tomorrow morning, you're going to have 40 or 50 bucks more money than you had a couple hours before.
Right. And I think it's one of those where, like, I think they flipped them on Amazon. I think it's like there's like a few sellers that can get on this Amazon listing, and they're able to take them from eBay from 40 to 50 and flip them onto Amazon for like 80 bucks, and they sell there just as quick too. So I think that's part of the reason. The other one is just a super popular calculator.
Dude, I would love, I guess probably next week, to have you guys done any Amazon selling at all?
Yes, I'm on a few listings. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm going to say no.
Yeah. That's one that I would like. That's one that I'm starting to do a little more looking up about.
Yeah. I got a shit ton. Well, you already got us mature. So, I got a shit ton of golf clubs. I could probably,
you got us already ranked with an E.
Yeah. Slapped us with the E. Thanks, coach.
I thought you said it was Mike that did it.
I think I had one more. I had a hat in case we haven't talked much about hats today, but it's the specialty hats, right? This is O'Brien, and anytime you get a ski hat, this is actually water skiing, or you get like regular skis in these brands, or surf, and you get like the old vintage like corduroy ones. Definitely $30 to $50 usually. This one took a while, but a lot of people, I think, underprice this stuff. O'Brien is a really good water ski brand, but anytime you get the cool 90s corduroy old sports brands, they take a minute to sell, but they eventually sell for pretty good money. So keep an eye out on those.
Awesome. Old corduroy. Old corduroy right. Hats in general do really good too.
Yeah. Right. Let's see what questions. Let's wrap up the Q&A. Darren's first question was from earlier that we haven't got to yet. He says, my question tonight for you guys is, what percentage do you promote at? I was using dynamic, but now I'm using 7% for everything. Super hard question to answer. It all comes down
to zero.
Coaches on the zero. I have been everywhere in between. The max I usually go is around 12%. I have been on the dynamic before. It depends on how much velocity do you need in your business for things to move. And if you are trying to, and what, how much you paid for the item and what your margin is, a lot of it is questions that you have to kind of answer yourself. But I will just say it really just comes down to the velocity that you need to sell things. I think around the 10 to 15% is super high, but it almost kind of, it maxes your store potential. I don't think going much over that, you're not going to get any faster sales, really. I kind of feel like that's the range where you get the most sales, in between 10 and 15. And then once you drop below 10, I can usually feel like a pretty good tick down when I go below 10. And I know a lot of people stay between 5 and 10, and I feel like that's where a lot of people end up. But it just depends. I play with the percentage all the time. I've done dynamic too. I've done dynamic like minus a percent or two. And that is just really the people that are going to win and get the most sales are the ones that continue to drive down their cost on the items and promote at the highest rate that they can still make money. I think that's the game. I think that's eBay's game. I think that's most platforms' games going forward. So it's really just on your business how little you can pay for it and how much you can stand to pay. but I wouldn't pay over.
Steven,
15.
Did you promote your listing on the TI-84?
I think it went auto. I think it automatically did. It did not. I don't think it did. It say?
I'll be interested I don't
know. To know. No, it didn't sell promoted.
Do you know if you had it? Like, it, you know, did you know if you did promote it or not? Though, like, just, even though it didn't sell as a promoted listing.
I do the same thing. I do it by categories on the promotion. So I sometimes will put that. I'll put the stuff that like I know that will not. That will sell no matter what. I'll try to put it in a no markdown or no promotion category, and I'll try to kick it there because everything else like automatically will go promoted. Okay. I don't remember if I remember to put it in the right category or not, honestly. But yeah, there are things like that. You just it doesn't make sense to promote.
So who asked that question?
DA Darren.
DA. Yeah. So there's I personally think that there's two parts to the whole should I promote and if so, what percent? I do a baseline 5%. It doesn't matter if it's the greatest item of all time or not. I just 5% is what I just do. But I will say, so in Steven's world, he has to promote at a certain percent because he is getting 500 hats in a week or whatever, and you know another couple hundred earbuds in a week or two. So he doesn't have the ability from this portion of his business where he buys in such bulk to only buy the ones that he knows have a high sell-through rate. The way you combat promotion, just period, from zero promotion to very minimal promotion, is being ultra strict on only buying items that have a high sell-through rate or that you're willing to sit on because the profit margin is so great. You know what I mean? So if you're having a hard time selling items, it's probably only for one reason. It's probably because it's a very low sell-through rate item. If you picked up a whole bunch of items like the Wii Sports and the Wii Sports Resorts, just like Logic said, or the TI-84, like Steven said, or other things that are in that stratosphere of sell-through rates, you'll never have to promote ever. Or you'll maybe promote 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%, whatever. So you're not going to go out every day and find 10 items or whatever that are going to sell by the time you go to bed, obviously. But if you stick to a certain percentage, if you say for us, it works great if every 90 days, half of the total eBay inventory of this certain item is selling. So that way, you know, you can within reason and maybe you price it down, say an extra $3 or $4, then yours will be in that, you know, in that 50% that sell in that 90 days, then you're fine. But if you go out and you buy things because you think they look cool or, you know, and you're not doing the proper comp and lookup before you pay for that item and you're buying things that have 500 listings and, you know, 25 solds every 90 days, then you're gonna have to go to 10 or 15%. You know what I mean? So it just all depends on how I look at it. Your promotion rate depends on how you source. If you source like Steven, which is not a bad way to source, it's just a different way to source, then you're going to probably have to be in that 10, 12, whatever. But if you're a picker like I am and don't usually buy things in bulk and you have the ability to go out and just be tell yourself that you're going to be ultra strict, that when I look this item up and I hit solds, if it's below this percent that I'm going to set for myself, I'm going to pass on it. It could be the coolest thing in the world. Then you'll be fine. So that, just like Steven said, that depends on you. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that I'll personally pick up that might have a lower sell-through rate than what I would normally pick up strictly for eBay because I know that I have another avenue to sell it, like whatnot, or, you know, or whatever. So, you know, if you're strictly eBay, then I would look up strictly eBay comps. If you're a Depop or a Poshmark or things that, you know, sell better on those, then that's kind of another thing. But specifically for eBay, I think it's the most important, the most important thing in the world is knowing the sell through rate, because that will, you know, that drives everything. Like, you want your store sell through rate to be as close to 100% as you possibly can. You know, the closer that you're selling you're flipping your entire store in 90 days, you're going to be more successful from a picker, you know, or a go out and source and not buy, you know, 1,000 hats or a month or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's kind of my 2 cents, I guess. You're muted.
Yeah, that's a hard question to answer, because there's so many variables that go along with it. And I think you wrapped it up pretty well.
Yep. Landon Logic added to the conversation as well with their personal thoughts on it.
Yeah, Lynn said that he does a flat 10%. I add a buck or two to the price to cover it. I figure, why not pay eBay to put my stuff in front of more people? Yeah, you make your money on the buy. And then Logic said that he's never done a single item above 6.5. And he really wanted the item gone. He said most of his listings are between 2 and 4, and he doesn't have an issue with any sales. He said he's ran a lot of tests, and for him specifically, it hasn't been a difference. It's probably because, you know, he's probably more strict on his sell-through rates of the stuff that he buys. So I guess just the general thing is, it really, all of that comes down to how you source. If you're a bulk guy, then you're going to have to be higher. If not, then, you know, then you can be lower or none, you know?
Well, I think a big part of it also is pricing. So let's not, let's not overlook that part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can find something with 2,000% sell-through rate, but if you're listing your item for, you know, 500 times the average, you're not going to sell it no matter what. So
yeah. Oh, I will also say that, and I learned this just 2 weeks ago, and it's something that didn't occur to me beforehand, but I was talking to my buddy Faya Benda. That's what he goes by on Instagram. He lives out here. And so he said, not only will he take the sell-through rate of the entire item, right? You look up Titleist hat, and then you go to Solds, and then you do your division or whatever, and then that will give you your number. So he even goes a step further. So he'll actually he'll type in Titleist hat, he'll go to Solds, and then he'll go to the price, and he'll put like a minimum price. And it's just for you, you know? So if, say the sell-through rate sucks ass, but they're all selling for like $40, right? He'll go through and he'll go to the price, and he'll type in the like the $0 to $30, and then that will give him a whole nother number. It'll give him like a whole nother number for that sell-through rate of the item that's selling between this amount of money. So if your buy-in cost on something is say $1 for this hat, and the sell-through rate sucks ass on the grand scheme, but you're like, dude, my buy-in is only $1, so it's still worth the pickup, even if it's a $20 flip. So then you go in there and you adjust your price to $20, and now all of a sudden your sell-through rate maybe has dramatically increased, because people are just paying less for that thing, and you're looking up all of the ones that are $40, and you know what I mean, so on and so forth. So that's another way, when your buying cost is super low, to justify you buying this item, because you know that you're not going to list it for like what those top 10 or so, like once you hit Solds, like those, you know, those first 10 that you kind of look through are selling for. You're going to go and you're going to list it for say $20, and you know it's going to sell, you know, this much better. So it's just another little way. And it's something that I didn't know until just 2 weeks ago.
So, yeah. Yeah. Totally makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Force the sale with the price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It all just depends on your buy-ins and all that other good
stuff. Sell-through rate plus price.
Yeah.
All right. A couple more questions I wanted to get to before we end. There was a question about hats. One was, how do you tell if a hat is twill?
Feel it.
And if you could, yeah, it's basically the feeling that you have on the hat. This one is twill. I know it because one, it says twill on the inside. This one is wool. If you can kind of see the difference, the wool, there's the wool hat.
It's fibers.
The twill hat. The twill is typically 60-40, 60 polyester, 40% cotton. The wool right here is usually 100% wool on that. Typically, the wool hat is worth more than the twill hat will be worth. I actually prefer the twill hat if I'm going to wear one. I just like it better. This one's a little hotter, but the sales price is different.
You will get these as well, that they're 80-20s. They're 80-20s. They feel not identical to wool, but dramatically different from twill. So you'll know that it's not twill. So
right.
100% wool is always going to be, you know, the top of the food chain. And then your wool blends are kind of below that, and then your twillies. But yeah.
And there was one other hat-specific question that I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly who asked it off the top. And Chris kind of asked a question similar to it last week. He was asking, is a Youngin hat good, or is Twins Enterprise better than Youngin? I think this is where a lot of people that start selling hats in the beginning get kind of tripped up. The tag doesn't matter on those types of hats, on those vintage hats. It has more to do with what's on the hat than whether it's a Louisville manufacturing or a Youngin hat or a Twins Enterprise, whatever it is. It has more to do with what is actually on the hat than the brand of the hat from those types of hats. Of course, Logo Athletic, there are some hats that are terrible, but there's some that are awesome. Logo Athletic, Sports Specialties, that's kind of in a tier on its own. But typically on most of the hat that you're going to run into in the vintage style, focus more about what is actually on it. Is it a great company? Is it a great style? Is it a great color? Is it a cool hat? More than whether it's on a Youngin or Twins Enterprise or whatever it may be.
Basically none of that shit matters unless it's like those top like Logo Athletic, Sports Specialties, like the starter, you know, like the wool starters, you know, some of those like really top ones. Yeah, other than that, the only one that I can really think of that would be, I guess, kind of tricky as far as like the brand is if you find a Logo 7 Shark Tooth, which is going to be a twill hat, which we already went over, and a Logo Athletic Shark Tooth, which is probably going to be a wool hat, then, you know, but they look virtually identical, but the price difference is like, you know, quite a bit different. But that's really the only time that I ever like think about you know, the brand being worth anything. It's just like, what, like there's like four or five maybe,
yeah,
that really high tier,
especially like old Truckers and that style of vintage. Yeah. Even like
those
old
almost never matter.
Yeah, or band hats from back then, or
yeah,
it doesn't matter. It's more about the age and the style and if it really is vintage or not, and is more important than whatever it was printed on at the time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same way in t-shirts a little bit. I mean, I know there are obviously top tier t-shirts out there, but a lot of times.
Yeah, t-shirt tags make way more of a difference than.
Yeah.
There's a top tier t-shirt for you right there.
This guy's out of control. Yeah. like a t-shirt, which is, it's something that I don't even know about, like a crazy amount, but you can have literally the exact same t-shirt, the same design, the same stitching, the same size and everything. But if it has, you know, like a Fruit of the Loom tag, it'll be this price. And then it'll have a Toltecs tag and it'll be this price. You know what I mean? And like, sometimes those prices can be, you know, like a good amount difference. And I don't exactly know why, other than I know some shirt makers will fit longer or shorter or boxier or skinnier, but you know, they definitely mean way more than hat tags for the most part.
Yeah.
You also know the best places to get them.
What?
It's some guy's bedroom in his cupboard.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Exactly.
All right. Are we ready? Is it giveaway time? Did I miss anybody's question out there? I hope I did not. We will definitely get you next time. Make sure and hit us up in the chat if you have any questions for the next time. It's time for the giveaway.
Uh-oh.
We're going to give away a hat shaper or
the nostalgia.
The nostalgia piece right here. Or you can go with the shake weight if you really need to get into shape.
Gotta get the shake weight. Shake weight.
Just message me after the show and I'll make sure and get your address and get it to you. All right. I think Mary filled out our entries today. Let me get over
to Amanda. Wins. She's still getting this hat.
Hell yeah.
I got it.
Hat shaker.
Thank you, Mary.
What's a hat shaker?
All right. Let me get present.
Oh, Brandon just popped in. Did you get Brandon?
Brandon.
This little sneaky.
Oh, I guess we'll let him in. Brandon is on.
We have to.
Now.
Hey, man. We got a comment.
Last second. Last call for.
Guy missed the whole thing. Had to pop in and just say he had a stutter. Eliminated for late arrival. I agree.
All right. Here's everybody. Of course, if you're a member, you automatically get a spot. And if you're a member and you made it, you got two spots. And then Logic Z got an extra spot just for his great information that he shared last time and for being here today. All right, here we go.
Let's go, dude.
Is it sharing?
Click it. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm absolutely.
Oh, Logic Z.
Oh,
Logic Z.
Logic Z.
Yeah. Hey, bring it home, baby. Bring it home.
We're
going to Duval County.
We got the hat shaper, whichever size you want. If you want to get on my Instagram, I talk a lot about how to use the hat shaper. So I talk about the two different sizes. If you want to watch that pinned video there, you can watch that video about how to use this hat shaper. And then maybe you can decide.
Well, wait a minute. Did he say he wants a hat shaper or does he want
I don't know. If you do want.
Let's see what the man.
The nostalgia. Wants. And if you have not seen the Shake Weight episode, please go back and watch that.
I have so many of these, dude. I don't even know where they're at. I think I have 5 of them.
All right, Logic Z. Yeah, check it out and then message me on Instagram and I'll get it sent out. Yeah, you can DM me
absolutely.
There.
DM on Instagram.
Yeah, get you the smaller one. Unless you're like a trucker hat only kind of guy, but the smaller one he still does trucker hats. But,
yeah,
you know,
just a little different shape.
Yeah, yeah, they're literally that. This goes for anybody, not just a giveaway. If you don't even have to be the biggest hat seller in the world. If you sell hats, spend the $30 or whatever they are on Steven's site and just get one. I mean, if you're sourcing 10 hats a month, like, dude, it's so easy it makes it so easy to shape them up and you're not folding up towels. You're not stealing rice cookers from your wife and, you know, doing whatever. So yeah, they're legit.
Appreciate it. Yeah. It's really easy right after you wash it, just set it on that hat shaper and let it dry.
Oh,
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Also, wait, Steven, before we go, also, if you guys can't make it in to this live,
thank you, Mary.
Definitely comment on the YouTube. You don't even have to say anything crazy, but if you have good bolos or good information, or like, you know, just want to say that, like, I'm the most handsome one of the three of us, or like whatever nice stuff you want to say, drop in there. And if your comment is good, if it's good information, whatever, we'll add you to the wheel. We know people are busy. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to provide a little value on the back end, we'll add you to the wheel. And
anybody if you that get picked, comments then, mustache ride on this video, you're in.
Boom, there it is. Keywords, baby. Keywords for the listing.
All right.
$5 a hat to steam on his dome live. You're out of control.
All right, guys. Appreciate everybody hanging out. Until next time, we talk everything eBay and whatnot. Make sure you check out the end credits too. And if you want to be a member, make sure you sign up for that. See you guys.
Hey, was Mary the one that has that Instagram account?